Well, today we're talking about hope, finding hope in the great I Am. We just heard the song right now. We sang a song called Great I Am, and it's a powerful thing when we talk about one. We worship one God and one Father. We're one body together, and it's because of the great I Am. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 18, and while I read this, if you like, we're going to be in the book of John today. You can turn to the book of John. But today's scripture reading is from Psalm 18, verse 1 through 6. And it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I'd like us to think about what I just read. It says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Anybody ever been afraid? Been afraid when the floods of ungodliness were made aware to you? I want you guys to think back, if you will. Think back, and you may think, what an odd thought, Adam, but I want you to think back in a time when you were down, when you were depressed, when you were alone or thought you were alone, when you thought, how can I go on? How can I press on? And I'm not talking about, dang it, they were sold out of this thing when I went to the store to get it. Ah, they don't have the double cheeseburger at McDonald's anymore for 99 cents. I'm talking about the loss of a loved one. Talking about assault, I'm talking about somebody leaving you in a marriage. I'm talking about those powerful things. Hatred from other people. Struggles with addictions. And I want you to think back at that time. Some of you may have to go way back. Some of you may think, well, I didn't have those, so you have a much easier struggle. And some of you may think, well, I don't have to think back that far. It's pretty recent to me and pretty near. I want you to think about that time. And I want you to think, how did I get through that? What did I do, or who did what to help me get through that? And I think about, for me, it was when my father died. And I remember my mother telling me, and the only words I could speak were, what will I do now? He was that big in my life at that time. I thought, what will I do now? What now? What next? For those of you that have experienced death of a loved one, you may know what I'm talking about. Now what? I want you to reflect back and think, what got me through that? Who got me through that? Did friends get me through that? Did my church get me through that? Did time simply get me through that? And again, some of you may be saying, I'm still going through that. Think who is helping you go through that right now. And then just understand, no matter what it was, no matter who it was one. It was one thing and one thing only that got you through that. And that's the great I Am. God only gets you through these things. Now, He may send people, He may send programs, He may just give you time to get through it. But God only does that. And we think, well, we're in a church body. We should be full of hope. We should be full of joy, excitement. Actually, Galatians 5:22 tells us the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we should have inside of us. All those things listed that we should have inside of us. And we should have those. We should show fruit. But reality is we're Christians. We struggle with the flesh. And even though we sit in a church, even though we have large families, large church families, large groups of people we work with, large groups of people we go to school with, we still find that there's lonely people. We still find that there's people with no joy in their life sitting in church pews and church chairs. And we still find that there's people missing hope. People sitting in pews and in chairs in churches throughout the world. And they're saying, "Where's my hope?" The hope is right here in God's Word. Back in Exodus 3, when Moses is called by God, and God says, "I'm going to use you. Why did you pick me?" "Just because, Moses, I want you." And Moses said, "Who do I tell him gave me this stuff to tell you guys? I mean, God, I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. But who am I going to tell them sent me?" And God said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you." And that was the beginning. And in John, we're going to start in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus picks up on this and he explains how he is human. He came in human form, but he is God. And in John chapter 6, verse 35. Actually, we'll go back just a little bit before that. In verse 32, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have not seen me, and yet do not believe." There were some amongst them that had seen him, and they still didn't believe that. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus first says, "I am the bread of life." And Jesus alone is the one that is able to satisfy our spiritual hunger, our spiritual thirst. And there's times that we may read the Bible, we may come to church, we may sing songs of praise, and yet we stand there empty. We stand there just a shell, not receiving all that God has to give us. And he says, "I will give him everlasting life." So maybe when you come to the table, maybe you're eating other things and drinking other things. Maybe when we take communion, as you take the bread and the juice representing his body and his blood shed for your sins, maybe we should think just a little bit longer about what that represents. And I know we joke around and say, "Oh, I'm hungry, this will fill me up." It really doesn't, but it needs to fill you spiritually. Do you go to him each day? Or do you come once a week, maybe twice a week? And is that why you're still hungry? Because you don't get that daily feeding? In John chapter 8, let's flip over to chapter 8, verse 12. And I'll start reading in verse 7, actually. It says, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then in verse 12, Jesus said, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' I am the light of the world. I am. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world." We are supposed to reflect that light of Jesus Christ inside of us. When Jesus pours himself into us, when we allow him to pour himself into us, that light should be reflective and shine out on other people. And people shouldn't walk past and say, "I wonder what's wrong with him. I wonder what's wrong with her." They should be walking past saying, "I wonder what he's got that I don't have. I wonder what she has that I don't have." I am the light of the world, and that light should be reflected through us, in us and through us, when we allow him to do that. Sometimes we try and have light from other sources. We have friends come along going, "Here, I've got the light, let me show you the way." We'll talk about that in just a minute. "Let me show you the way." All other lights are not the light of Christ. All other lights will eventually show darkness and expose darkness and or lead to darkness. In John chapter 10, let's flip over to chapter 10. We're going to work our way through here. Jesus clearly is trying to make his connection between God saying, "I am," and him saying, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life." In chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the true shepherd and the good shepherd and the shepherd knowing his sheep. And in verse 7, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." When we talk about Jesus now saying, "I am the door," he's saying, "I'm the only way." We've heard other people, we've seen other things, we've seen it on TV, we've seen it on the internet. Come follow this mystic path into enlightenment, into eternal life. I am the door. You know, there are no other manuscripts that go back as far as the Bible. I am the door. Manuscripts found in caves, found buried in sand, in bushel baskets to be burned. And they're pulling those things up and finding out, hey, these are the old Bibles. These are their old readings. I mean, they've done it in the past and we've known about it for years. It didn't change from back then to today. Those things still hold true. I am the door. All of the doors lead down the wrong path. They lead to destruction. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you have knocked on that door, seen it open and run away. Some of you have knocked on that door, it was open and you walked in. Some of you are still on the other side of that door, and some were able to walk back out of that door. Jesus alone is the entrance to eternal life. John chapter 10, verse 7 tells us that, and I am the door. And then as we look a little bit further, he says it again. When he talks about being the good shepherd in chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And we talked about that a while back, about are you a shepherd or a sheep? But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Every individual, no matter how young, no matter how old, we're wandering around like little sheep. Stray, lost, caught in the stickers, caught in the bushes. Again, we've seen, we've heard about, we may have experienced in the past, false shepherds collecting up stray, lost people. A lot of our young people today are looking for belonging. They want to belong to somebody, to something, to some group. And all you've got to find is one powerful person that says, hey, young people, come follow me. You young people, come on with me. I'm going to show you a good time and I care about you. And they're going to lead them to a path of destruction because they're false shepherds. The church is still experiencing those today. But Jesus is the only good shepherd. Jesus will stand beside you. And as we go through these things, I want you to think back to those memories when you've been lost, when you've been alone, when you felt hopeless. And sometimes God was always there, but sometimes you didn't know that. You may not have known God at that time. Many of you know that my sister lost her husband 3 years ago this December, the same night we had a Christmas party at our house. And about 2.5 months ago, she lost her oldest son. And she was talking the other night during Thanksgiving. She said, you know, I'm thankful for memories. She said, I'd rather he be sitting right here, but I'm thankful I've got my mind and my memories. And she said, without my faith, I don't think I could make it. Any of you guys ever made that statement or heard someone? Without my faith, I don't think I could have made it. And she's saying, I don't think I could make it or I can make it. And some of us have experienced those that couldn't make it and couldn't take it. And those are troubling times for us also. But God says, I am the good shepherd. I will be by. I will lead you along. And I will take you down this path. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus again finds himself and he says, Jesus was talking to Martha and he said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus probably saw the question mark in their eyes, going, how can he say this? So he asked, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So now Jesus, he's not only the bread of life, he's the light of the world, he's the door, I am the good shepherd, but now, one more step, I am the resurrection and the life. He died, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead. Because he is alive now, he can give the resurrection life. And as we face death, that is our hope, that he is a giver of life. And one final thing in verse 14, or chapter 14 of John. A familiar verse to most of us, John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one person that can claim that, and that's God. He sustains our spiritual life. He is the great I am. Now my question today, as we look for hope in the great I am, is if we've come hopeless, if we've come lost or lonely, what are we going to do with the great I am in our life? What are we going to do? I know that it's hard for us to understand, if we haven't been lonely, how someone can be lonely in a house full of people, in a job where there's tens of hundreds of people there, in school where there's hundreds of students and teachers, and yet we can sit in our classroom day in and day out and be lonely. And we can feel unloved, and we can feel hated, we can feel bullied. Sitting in the house of the Lord, we can feel lost, uncared for, unappreciated. But the great I am came to say, "I love you." God is love. What about depression, Adam? How do I get out of depression? The great I am is your way out. I am the door. I am your shepherd. I will guide you. I will lead you. If you will follow me, knock on my door, and it shall be opened for you. I am the bread of life. Come over here and eat of this, and I will give you life. My father, being a preacher many years ago, my mother said he had a small group that he was meeting with one time. And he went around that room, just a handful of people, less than 10. And he told each person in there, "I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you and I love you." Walked up to each person and told them that. And a lady, a professional lady, meaning she was a worker, not a professional lady, professional lady came up to him the next day. She was a principal of a school there in our town. And this woman's in her 40s or 50s, and she walked into my dad's office, and she said, "I want to tell you, when you said you love me yesterday," she said, "that was the first time in my life I've ever heard those words, that someone spoke those to me." And I thought, man, are there really people like that in this world? Jack, I thought about what your father said about why did he like him more? And I thought, the great I am loves each and every one of you. And the great I am doesn't love you more than you. He doesn't love you more than you. He loves us all. As we close today, I just want to pray for what you guys will do with the great I am. And I want to read this quick story. Ripley's, believe it or not, is always a great place to get stories, right? But I confirmed it, so. And it talks about the bayonet being stronger than the blizzard. In January 1797, two French divisions under generals rushed to Napoleon's aid from the Rhine to Italy. They crossed the Swiss Alps in the dead of winter, which was memorable because of the severity of the weather that year. A sudden tempest of great violence stopped them in their tracks. Even the hard-boiled, it says, hard-boiled Alpine guides quit, saying it was useless to go on. I want you to catch a couple things there. First of all, that's another shepherd guiding you that said, "Whoop, I quit. It's too hard." The whirling snow obliterated all the mountain paths and reduced visibility to zero. Fatigue and the great cold became irresistible. Demoralized soldiers began to lie down in the snow to face death by freezing. Many of you are ready to lay down in the snow and face death, a spiritual death. But suddenly, a shrill sound carrying above the fury of the gale wind rent the air. The trumpeters of the commanding generals blew the signal for the charge. Awakened by this, weariness and despair vanished in an instant. They fixed their bayonets, they beat their drums, their flags whipping in the wind, and they attacked the most elusive enemy of all, the weather. They conquered in the most uneven hand-to-hand encounter and crashed through to Italy before they knew they had even left their original positions. And my point is simply this. When you're laying on the ground, about to give up, facing your spiritual death, you're starving to death, you're lost, your guides have quit on you, your other shepherds have walked away, you went through the wrong door, you followed the wrong light and the batteries pooped out. The great I Am says, "I will always be there." If you wouldn't just bow your heads with me today. Father, today we acknowledge the great I Am. We come together today wanting to lift up those that may feel hopeless as we talk about hope in the great I Am. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Our hope has come and our hope is here today. Lord, let those that are lost and lonely, those that are depressed, find comfort in You and in Your Word. For Your Word says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Lord, Your Word says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And although weeping may remain for a night, joy comes in the morning." Lord, to those that weep today, let joy fill their lives tomorrow. Let joy fill their soul. Let joy come from the great I Am, not in their circumstances. For the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble, for He cares for those who trust in Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest today. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me, says the great I Am. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His Word I put my hope. Hope comes from the great I Am. The great I Am heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And Lord, today we ask as we start our Advent season with hope, today that You would fill us with hope, fill us with joy, fill us with comfort, fill us with peace. Lord, fill us with Your patience. Lord, fill us with the things that are so easily taken away from us when times are stressful. As we get into the holiday season, Lord, fill us with the fruits of Your Spirit. For love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and last but certainly not least, self-control. Lord, today, if there are those people here today that are lost and lonely, weary and tired, depressed, sad, facing spiritual hunger, if that's you today, would you just lift your hand so that we can pray for you? I don't want you to come forward. Just lift your hand so that we can pray for you. And guys, please don't be selfish today. Don't be selfish and think this is just between me and God. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. And let us be there with you. Thank you. Father, for those that lifted their hand today, I ask that You receive their prayers, that You see them in their situation. Lord, that You would help them out of that, that You would give them comfort, that You would guide them. Lord, You are the great I Am. No one else claims that. At the mention of Your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.